And we're back here at Pat Falk Stadium. Chris Lemus ready to kick off for the Blackshirts, who have now jumped ahead 15-6 thanks to a beautiful 30-yard touchdown pass from Carranza to the sophomore Cameron Harris. Let's see what he does here. It's a short kick, a little squibber here. That might even go out of bounds. It'll be a penalty. So,
well, they'll have good field position.
But it should be right at the 40, I believe, is the rule. So it's kind of negligible. Really a 3-yard penalty, if I understand correctly. Let's see where they spot it. Yep, but we spotted at the 40, so negligible. So, again, not wanting to take any chances here, I would believe. 35, excuse me, I stand corrected. So, if anything, we gained yardage on the kick because I think it dribbled out at the 38. No, now they're moving it up. It must be from the spot of the foul. Yeah, they're back in it actually where the ball went out of bounds, 38-yard line. So, either way, it's pretty good field position with 33 seconds left for the Red Knights. If they can, they have, it looks like, two timeouts left, so... And in the game last year at Ken Hollop Stadium, they scored the last touchdown to end the half, which at that point made it 20-6, I believe. Here comes the Red Knight offense. I don't see Perdzak in. Yep, he's in there. Okay, so, yeah, pistol formation. Looks like they might just be in victory form. No, they call timeout here. Interesting. Two timeouts, and they've already spent one. So it could be either a masterful stroke on Wiley's part or a waste of a timeout with 33 seconds left. We'll see, though. I think they wanted to see what the defense looked like. They kind of lined up in what looked like the victory formation there.
Sure did.
But, you can't be fooled by that. I mean, we've seen enough Muskego games to know that you can do a lot of damage from that formation, get some big yards. So both teams huddling here. And obviously Blackshirt's looking to, I think you got to play your same defense, play tough. Keep that outside contained. Watch for the handoffs. So Red Knights come back out in the field. And now we got a receiver right on the short side. And that was that same receiver, Barnes, that they tried throwing long to. Kevin Barnes in the last series, the senior. No receivers left here, just double kind of flank. They move a guy now from the flank from the right to the left here. So now we got a receiver on the left here. Pistol formation. They got him wide here. So it's going to be a handoff. Oh, and a great tackle in the backfield if they can hang on. Logan Tank Dable and Geezy and Carranza. But that was a tank. What a big play here as the time 20 and running. And they may just let the clock run out here unless they whip up Hail Mary. And it doesn't look like they're going to get a playoff here. 11 seconds and counting. You'd figure they'd call their last time out.
That's it.
They're going to take it to the locker room. So
yep.
That'll be it for the first half with your Blackshirts leading the Red Knights 15-6. We're going to take a quick break, but join us at halftime. We have Hall of Fame inductees here from Milwaukee Lutheran and Blackshirt. Super Dad Jared Dable is our halftime guest, so he'll be on after the break. So don't go away. This is the Blackshirt Sports Radio Network.
possible. Hit cruise control and rub my eyes. The last 3 days, and the rain was unstoppable. It was always cold, no sunshine.
Hey, welcome back to Pat Folk Stadium here, where the Blackshirts lead future Parkland Conference rivals Milwaukee Lutheran, the Red Knights, 15-6, and what's been a pretty long but very exciting first half. A lot of beautifully executed plays, maybe too many penalties and some mental mistakes, but considering what happened in the first play, they're way ahead here. So Milwaukee Lutheran's inducting their Hall of Fame inductees for this year, and congratulations to them. But I've got another Hall of Famer here of our own, Blackshirt Super Dad, Jared Dable, who was very instrumental in the lobbying efforts to help move the Waukesha Blackshirts from the Classic 8 to what next season will be the Parkland Conference. And we're getting a taste of what Parkland Conference football will be like tonight. How do you think the boys are looking in your mind, Jared?
First quarter was pretty sloppy, in my opinion. Way too much laundry out on that field, some bad snaps. Defense kind of stepped up here a little bit. I haven't really given the Red Knights any yardage, if any. When they get it all cleaned up, I mean, it's first game jitters. That last drive was beautiful. Their two-minute drive there, that was absolutely
great. How about that pass from Hector?
Hector's really impressed me from what I've seen him at practice a few times, and today, pretty accurate passes. And, Justin Giese. Thank God we got Justin Giese back on this team, because he's had one heck of a first half.
He sure has. How about that tackle behind the line of scrimmage?
Great.
That was sweet. And of course, your own boy, Logan Tank Dable, had some really big tackles, especially there.
Yep. He's kind of settled into this groove now, too. He's had about three or four tackles for loss now, which is, he's looking good out there again. Like I said, I mean, a lot of these boys, I think, have first game jitters and first half jitters, get them out of the way, and now we just clean this up and take control.
Yeah. So the big question on Blackshirt Nation's minds, who the heck is Cameron Harris, the sophomore, 150 pounds?
I have no idea.
You look like Randy Moss out there.
Name at all from any of these seniors. I mean, maybe he's just that sleeper pick, but man, is he impressive.
He sure is. And what's reminding me of the eighth grade squad that won the division is that they gave up a touchdown on the first play, and that kills your momentum right away. But they bounce back. A couple series later, they get a big touch on two very big plays, that 17-yard run by Dunlop, and then that 30-plus-yard pass from Carranza to the sophomore Harris, who's just like inches within the goal line. And then they put in Ben Jimenez, and he kicks it in there for the touchdown. Like, a lot of character. And, the defense, too, looked really solid to me. After that play, the only other big play they gave up was that 12-yard run play by the tailback.
Look, they're swarming to that ball. You know, it's a gang tackle. You're not relying on one or two guys here. It is a gang tackle, and they are getting there behind the scrimmage. Even some of these guys, I saw Logan, Gabe, even Giese a couple times. They get through the line. They might not be making that play behind the line, but they're throwing that running back or the quarterback off his course and allowing other people like Vinny, who's had a pretty good first half too,
right,
to come up and make those tackles.
Sure. Sure.
Selfless football. That's what this team's all about.
It really is. That's a point well taken. You know, in the past where we've had some big names that, you know, you wonder if they're kind of there for themselves. You hate to say that, but, you know, getting that film is so important. But it's just, you don't see today. You just see it's like what Coach Chris Carrillo said the other night when we had our parents meeting, us.
Yep.
A lot of us out there.
And you see a lot of that.
So it was very fun to see. Now, we got the ball to start the second half. If you're Coach Wilts, what are you doing?
I'm going back out in my 2 minute.
I really like that, how they went right in the no huddle there.
It's gassing their defense.
Yep.
It suits up really well for us, doing what we do with, you know, some power running by Isaiah, which he looks like Isaiah. I mean,
he does, yeah.
He is just plowing over people.
Yep.
You know, set up those short outside passes.
Yeah.
Run up the middle, sets you up for that nice long pass by Hector, who's been throwing dimes.
He sure has. And how about Vinny Mahalis? He's made some key tackles.
Yeah, like I said, you know, those guys up front, they're getting in the backfield, throwing it off, letting those outside linebackers like Giese and Gabe and Vinny just come up and really make those nice, secure tackles. You haven't really seen too many people break tackles from us.
We haven't. Yeah, you're right. So, and you get a lot of help, too. If a guy can't make a clean tackle, he's got help from his teammates. And that was nice to see. And you know, when it was crunch time, when we gave up that ball at the 18-yard line there, our own 18-yard line, we helped. I mean, granted, we had some penalties to our benefit, but we also played really tight. Like the way that we sniffed out that, I think it was called back for a penalty, but that looked like they were going to score, and Williams got through the line and forced the guy out of bounds for a loss. That was such a great play. Tyler Williams is, he's showing his true form tonight.
Yep, and that's something we missed last year with him, where he's just, defensively, he's a bulldog. I mean, he'll come up and he'll hit the biggest guy on the field. He doesn't really care. And then offensively, you see how shifty and fast his burst speed is just phenomenal.
Sure. So, I mean, the one play, and again, we're all up here, it's easy for us to beat Vince Lombardi. That fourth and short where they gave the ball to Isaiah, and the whole defense knew what he was doing. In the scrimmages and in that touchdown, we saw Ben Jimenez in those short yarded situations. Would you rather have not have had him in there for a play like that, knowing how hard he's big, you know,
well,
he's big and he runs
like
hard.
That, I would have wanted to take advantage of their aggressiveness and maybe call the no play. You go up there and you do a couple hard counts.
Yeah.
Try to get him to jump.
We did draw. Good call. Yeah, we draw him off sides twice tonight.
They start coming down for fault, you know, where you're going to have a delay of game.
Sure.
Take your time out.
Sure.
And then readjust.
Yeah.
But I would have loved to have seen him come up there and done like a no play and just drawn him off sides.
Excellent.
Not
call.
Only does it get us our first down, it kind of, you know, demoralizes them a little bit. We're now down on themselves again.
Sure does. Sure does. So, and you got the whole family here? The in-laws are here, I saw?
We do. I got the sister-in-law, the father-in-law, mother-in-law, and my parents are here also, along with my sister. All here cheering on Logan. And
love it.
Yeah, all my other sons that I have on the football team now. It seems like I got about 8 or 9.
Great representation here. And, you know, it's like everyone's been so friendly. And we talk about the, I should be careful what I say, the maybe neutral hospitality we get at the Classic 8 schools, but here at our future conference rival, everyone from athletic director Jeff Albers on down, everyone has been extremely kind to us, and their families involved in their kids just like we are. The announcer is actually the father of the starting quarterback, so there's a real strong family connection here at Milwaukee Lutheran, so they resemble Blackshirt Nation in many ways, and you know, these are the kind of schools we want to face in competition.
Well, yeah, as you can see out there, I mean, it's 15-6 at halftime because we scored with under a minute to go. I mean, it's been a very even game.
It sure has.
So far. I mean, granted, I think if we can get out there and clean up some of those penalties and you know, some of the mental mistakes that we've been making, I think it's a little bit different here, and hopefully we do that and kind of just have that defense keep taking control of the game.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. So, well, Jared Dable, really grateful for your time. We'll let you get back to your family, and good luck in the second half. And when we come back from the break, we're gonna talk about some of these seniors we have on the team. We have 14 seniors, so we're going to spend some time talking about them. And anything else before you go, Jared, you'd like to say?
No, like I said, I'd like to thank you and Johnny here for doing this for all the families that can't make it to the game. Like I said, my family in Indiana truly appreciates it.
Love it.
I know we've got family all across the country that wishes they could be here to cheer on their
sounds great.
Nieces, nephews, cousins.
Tell them they go to waukradio.com and they can catch the broadcast if they don't download the Civic Media app.
I send it out.
Let
to
them
all
know.
My all
right.
AMA,
right on. So. Thank you.
You got it. Yeah. Well, we're thankful for that. So, and we got to have you back on the show on This Week in Waukesha one of these days. So,
I'm more than happy. I'll bring donuts.
Sounds great. Jared Dable, South Super Dad and former youth coach. Thanks again.
Thank you,
see you soon.
Thanks, Jared.
How do you like our new mic, too? Isn't that pretty cool?
I like it.
All right.
New equipment. It's great.
You got it. Yep. All right. Hey, so we're going to pay some more bills. Anastasia will take care of us, and we'll come back with some more before the second half starts with the Blackshirts leading at halftime 15-6. Do not go away. This is the Blackshirt Sports Radio Network, sponsored by Mia's. Hey, welcome back, everyone, to Pat Falk Stadium, home of the Red Knights of Milwaukee Lutheran. We're almost ready to start the second half, but I'm here with Johnny Watermelon and wanted to take an opportunity to shout out our seniors. Before we do, I wanted to mention our guest tomorrow morning on This Week in Waukesha is State Representative Scott Allen, talking about some recent legislations he's been working on and other state issues affecting Waukesha life. So stick around for that. Johnny's back at the Farmers Market, and we'll have some time with the Carol Minute, too, as well. So be sure to tune in 8 a.m. here on WAUK Radio, 540 a.m., 101.1 FM, The Shaw. And, so 14 returning seniors, and they got to feel pretty encouraged, especially some of the OGs that have been here since the fifth grade. You know, Johnny, do you want to start with the roll call here and tell us a little bit more about them, and I'll chime in as I know it?
I do. So here we can start with Logan.
Logan Tank Dable, whose dad Jared was here at half.
Yeah. You know, I find it very interesting. Some of the notes that you prepared earlier, Don, you know, the all-classic lineman, you know, his uncle Sean Shockley played for South on one of the last teams before they went back to state.
When they went to state.
In 89 and 90. His dad Jared played for West, but broke away from the evil empire, as you put it.
those are my words. I own them.
Yeah, they're kind of interesting. So if you could help give us a little detail on that, or what do you think, or give a little dialogue.
We'll leave that there. I think most people understand, you know, our Black Shirt Nation.
Right. I just kind of like tell you.
Loyalties, how you yeah. And,
he also played a lot of infield for Coach Stillman, I guess. So.
Yep, John Stillman, now the receivers coach, I believe, for Waukesha South.
And certainly things that we've all seen is his quickness and the footwork, man. The guy's got great footwork.
In addition, the
dude is so strong. I mean, he's just got some strength, you know.
Yep.
I mean, it's just uncanny.
That's why they call him Tank.
Yeah, man. Dude, I'll tell you what. He's a load.
Yeah.
So, and then next, somebody that you're close to is Evan Stout. You know, he's been fortunate. Isn't he off to Eau Claire? Where's he going to do?
He's committed to Eau Claire, and he couldn't be more excited. He really likes the coaching staff there. The defensive coach is actually the brother of our youngest daughter's fourth-grade teacher, Banting Elementary, so strong family connection. And she was a wonderful teacher, Bailey Gravold, and I believe she helps with the basketball program at the high school level now. And just wonderful family now. Eau Claire's investing in a new facility. When it's complete, it'll be the largest indoor football facility in Division III football. So real commitment there to a growing culture.
So he's hitting the right spot at the right time.
He sure is, and he's really excited.
Blue Gold is a great place, man.
That's what I hear. You know? And so, he's really excited, and it's a good fit for him because he's interested in teaching and he's interested in coaching when he finishes college, and he loves working with the kids and and he's always had great relationships with his coaches too, and so it's good to see. I'm really proud of the leader he's become.
And I see similar to me, he had a very successful has a successful academic background, so he's kind of
high honors.
That's
great. And he's part of AVID, which is kind of like it's akin to student government but more more community-based, and so we're really proud of his actions in that. And great football heritage, as we mentioned there.
Boy,
in the notes.
I'm looking at some of your notes here, dude.
So
he has got a great lineage in there, man. There's a lot of folks in the background. What a bloodline!
His grandfather, Razor Rick Zanin, played against John Matuzak in high school, and his team. That was their only loss of the season was to John Matuzak's team, and Razor Rick had to double-team him, not very successfully, but they did tie with Matuzak's team to win the All-City Championship, which was obviously a big deal back then. And then his sister Jordan was a varsity dance team all 4 years.
Okay.
National Honor Society, and she's doing great things at lacrosse, so very, very proud of her. And then... you know, in his Brown lineage that he's very much a part of, he's got cousins in Division I athletics. One played hockey for Cornell. Another just graduated from Stanford, which had a great career in lacrosse.
Right.
Another cousin, the lacrosse player's brother, will be starting at University of Virginia in lacrosse. And just great. You know, and his uncle was first-team All-State in football.
Yeah.
His aunt played Division I softball at Virginia before having a great high school career in which she was a finalist in tennis in New York State. So, I mean, it goes back many years. Even had a great-granduncle who was an All-Ireland Gaelic football champion back in Ireland during the time of the War for Independence. And so you know, and he grew up, you know, hearing all these stories and being part of the Legends and living. It was really fun to watch him play. As a little kid, we used to do sack the quarterback, and I teach him how to sack me. And
well, there's a lot going on.
He sure does, yeah.
I just wanted to say hi to Melissa, you know, Evan's mom. You know, she's also
president of the Boosters.
So she puts a lot of
effort
in. The
reason I'm the luckiest guy in the world.
Yeah, well, you are damn lucky. She's a great person.
Thanks, Johnny. So, thanks for that. I know she'll appreciate that.
I know we're getting real close to kickoff here, Don.
Tyler Thrill-Williams, I'm really glad with the half he's having. As both teams are coming out, they're about to kick off to start the second half. But Tyler Thrill-Williams is another high honor student who's bilingual in Spanish. He's been in the dual language program since fifth grade, and you've heard his name called a lot tonight, so we couldn't be happier. We'll get back with more seniors as the Red Knights kick off. It's a short kick. It's fielded by, who is that? That's Tyler Williams, and he gets tackled after a little scamper. He fielded the ball, 33, kind of gets pushed back to the 31, so not bad position for the black shirts. Here at Pat Folk State, a natural turf field, so a little bit slower than what our black shirts are used to. Black shirts again in their Ottawa Rough Riders, red pants, white jerseys, black number and sleeve, black helmets. The home team, Milwaukee Lutheran, all maroon. So Milwaukee Lutheran had their Hall of Fame induction ceremony as we start the hand. Oh, top of the snap. Carranza picks it up. He runs. He throws it. Nobody. Oh, that could be a flag. I don't see anyone. No, he was out of the pocket, though. I don't know what that means. But, you know, he had Williams there if he had looked a little more to the left. So I want to say it's second and 10 before they set up. Milwaukee Lutheran had their Hall of Fame induction ceremony tonight. They honored them in half. I want to shout out to Fritz Richter, who was inducted to the Hall of Fame last year. His son, Bo, is our varsity basketball coach. And we've seen Fritz officiate many of the youth basketball games as well as some of the women's basketball. So second and 10, a trips left. Dunlop motion to the left. They go to the right, though.
It's a nice-looking play.
And that's
first down.
First down and then some. A nice little carry. Looking at like almost a 20-yard gain. And I'm trying to think, was that Carranza? Ben Jimenez. That was a beautiful play because we had trips left. Dunlop went to the left, so you thought they were setting Dunlop up. Then Jimenez looked right. Carranza looked right to Jimenez, and Jimenez to the ref. So Stout alone on the left, Jimenez on the right on the short side, Stout on the wide side. Dunlop lined up. Now he's on the left of Carranza. They've been switching around here. We got twins right, actually. Looks like Williams in motion now. Yep. Hand off to Dunlop. He's got some room, some good blocking.
He's going.
Front. There's a nice little run there. All the way to the 24.
Boy, good blocking.
That's another 20-yard gain. A beautifully designed play. Some great blocking there.
Yes, there was.
In fact, Evan Stout was trying to get out of Kranz's way. He might get credit for the tackle. So Stout's alone on the left. Dunlop on Carranza's left. Twins right here on the wide side of the field. Ball in the left hash. Fakes the handoff. Pass almost picked off. It's completed to Williams. I think he's going to go. He's there. Touchdown, Blackshirts.
Touchdown.
Tyler Thrill-Williams, the high honor student. What a play. That was almost a pick six, too.
That was close.
That's the second or third time we've seen that tonight. That's how great these teams are matched. It looked like it was going to be a pick six. It got to Williams just in time. Broke away from Utah. But it looks like it's going to be called back.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's too bad. That was a beautifully designed one. I wonder what they're calling. It looks like it was a hold. And it was right near where the play took place. So,
oh, no.
That might explain some of the beauty to that, what we thought was a well-designed play.
Well, it just looks so good. I jeez Louise.
So it's spotted. Looks like it's what? It's first and 10, but it's like right at it's first and 10 instead of they must have spotted it upfield. So in high school, they spot from the spot of the infraction. So twins right, Stout alone left, Carranza back to pass, he's looking right, he's got a guy!
Touchdown!
Tyler Williams again! So a two-for-one deal for Tyler here.
Jeez, back-to-back.
If nothing else, you know, we were talking about him getting film. That's like four games of film right there in the last 2 days. So we do get the touchdown, it's now 21-6. PAT team comes out, and I think they're just going to settle for the one here after getting a beautiful... two-point conversion. So a great start to the second half for our black shirts here as they set up the extra point. Chris Lemus. The hold is good. The kick is good. And with 10:36 in the third quarter, it is now a 22-6 black shirt lead. Stick around. More to watch on the Black Shirt Football Radio Network. Do not go away. Pat Pope Stadium, where the Black Shirts are about to kick off after scoring. Hector Kronza throwing his second touchdown pass of the game. A nice little spot there to the split end, Tyler Williams. So 10:36 in the third quarter, the opening drive too, so very, very important drive for the Black Shirts, getting some more space between them and the Red Knights as the kick goes off. It's another onside kick. It's fielding. No, it's dropped. But it looks like the Red Knights fall on it.
They got it.
Yep, and the ref confirms my suspicions. So it'll be Red Knights ball at their own 36. Good field position for them. Mike Harris was the receiver.
Don, I just got to mention something about Chris Lemus. When he's kicking those field goals, those extra points, that kid gets underneath that ball. He's got a lot of leg, and I think as the season goes on, he's going to have a game winner or two. It's just unbelievable. The kid's got a leg, man.
He sure does. And, you know, those are the kind of guys colleges are looking for, guys that can kick it high, especially on those extra points and those short field goals. So the Red Knights come back out on the field. It's a pistol formation. Single receiver right, double flankers, nobody on the left here. And now flanker goes in motion to the left. They're going to hand it off. Looks like a new running back. Runs with a little more power, but black shirts are there. They get him for a four-yard gain. That was some good play call. So number three, Jonte Watt, the junior, getting a look here. He looks like he packs a little more weight than the starter that was in there, Clayton Brown. And, you know, that might have been part of the plan in the second half was to throw a different runner out there to throw the defense off and kind of beat up these black shirts if they can. So it's now second and six, a respectable first-yard gain. But, again, good defense there by the black shirts preventing that from going further here. Black shirts in kind of like a 3-4 formation here. It's going to be another handoff to the big guy up the middle. He's got some good blocking. He's got some space. He's going to run. Oh, Cameron Harris with a beautiful hit. But Watt runs it all the way to the 30. Boy, Harris put a pound on him. Stout was in pursuit from behind, but Harris was there. Boy, that was a shot.
And it was a good thing he was because he was going
the distance. Yeah, so they are now at the Black Shirt 32-yard line. And so now they got it. They got to be keying on this Dante Watt. Logan Dable comes in now the game for Charlie Rowalinski. So Dable now filling the middle here. Hopefully that could help stop things here. So single receiver left, twin flanker position, pistol formation. They're giving it to him again. This time the Black Shirts are there. They get him for a loss. That's Dable and Geezy, the usual suspects, with another tackle behind the line. There is a flag on the field. Let's see who this is going to be against. I see Knights walking back, so it could be a holding call. And in spite of the beautiful play, you got to take the call this deep in our territory. So that it's a 10-yard variety, as Dan Dierdorf used to like to say. And that takes us back to the Black Shirt 41-yard line. So, yep, take the penalty.
I got to tell
you. First and 21.
Cameron Davis.
Watt comes back out, so the new guy comes in. Cameron Harris.
Oh, Cameron Davis. When he hit.
Oh, Cameron Davis. I'm sorry.
A couple of plays ago, he knocked him right off his feet, man.
He sure did. Jameer Clayton Brown now back in the tailback. It's same pistol formation. We got this time a Twins right package, flanker left. And they fake the handoff. He's going to throw. He's got a guy in the flat. Decent yardage. Good tackling, though. Capoletti and Davis with another tackle. Good low hit by Davis.
Yeah, it was. He's moving around back there.
So that gets them all the way back to just past their original line of scrimmage. It's now second and nine. So that was a really nice design play there. 8:13 is your time remaining in the third quarter. That was John Ellis on that play. Well-designed play. Boy, he was wide open there in the flat. So I think And what I can't understand, they didn't really have any receivers going to that. So I think they were just covering the left side maybe too much.
Hammond showed good recovery speed on that, and he came back up.
So single receiver right, nobody on the wide left. Double flankers, pistol formation. Perdzik gets the snap. It's going up the middle. Oh, he goes around. No one there in the outside contain. He could go all the way. And he does. Touchdown, Red Knights.
Ay, ay, ay.
Jameer Clayton Brown, the starting tailback, comes in. And you know, they had a couple guys cheating on there in the black shirts, and there was no outside contain responsibility on that. I wish I could see an instant replay.
Well, you nailed it, Don. There was no outside contain. He just found it.
And there was really nothing the black shirt defense could do there. 7:32 remaining. It's now 22-12, and the Knights will take a moment here to talk about a play. I'm guessing it's going to be a two-point conversion so they can be within a touchdown. But there is a lot of time left, so let's see what they do here. Yeah, they're lining up for two. They already got a receiver split right. Same pistol formation. Nobody lined up left. Receiver lined up right away. Now the black shirts will call timeout here. Interesting. No. The Red Knights will. Okay, well, good. So two left for them.
Okay.
So.
It's a lot of time.
You know, this is the difference between a one-score game and a two-score game if they get this two-point conversion. So it is important. With 7:32 left, as you said, Johnny, a lot of time left in the game. So, boy, you talk about the reversal of fortunes. Black shirts come marching down the field in the opening drive. Get a touchdown that puts them up 22-6. And then the Red Knights come roaring down the field from their own 37. Couple of nice running, but a beautiful running play underneath the coverage. You know, a play in the flat that netted some positive yardage on a first and 20 situation. So here we go, pistol formation, one receiver right. Now another a flanker goes out in the slot. And he throws a pass, and it's dropped. Oh, but a flag's down. They're going to nail Cameron Davis for interference. Davis doesn't agree with the call, but you're always going to get that when you're coming in from behind. And Davis might not have made contact and knocked the ball away, but when you're coming in from behind, 9 times out of 10, they're going to flag that, so. Forward progress will move it to the one, which may set them up for a running play. I wouldn't be surprised if Jonte Watt comes in to power that in for the Red Knights. But it certainly gives them a lot more options now, that 1 yard. So let's see what the Red Knights come back with. But I think if they've got that receiver split right, you got to be on. You just got to play him right on the line like Lester Hayes. And that's what they're doing. But you got to be mindful that. Different. This is number 8. No, Jameer Clayton Brown's back in. So I wouldn't be surprised if you get a running play here. Oh, wrong side. He was going for the handoff. And he gets swarmed by Blackshirt. So a miscommunication, fortunately for us, on the handoff.
Perzak with Jerry Brunt out of the backfield, and Ish White is no good.
Clayton Brown, one of them.
And your new score was 732.
Perzak went one way. Clayton Brown went the other way. There was no hand. So Perzak had to try to rolling out, and black shirts were there to sniff him down. I don't know who was there to make the tackle on that. Did you see that, Johnny?
I did not, but I got to tell you, that puzzle had
that was a
piece
big
missing there.
Yeah, thankfully for us, because right. from 1 yard away.
Yeah, that could have been a lot different.
It sure could. So it remains 22-12 with 7:32 left. The Red Knight kicking team already out there ready to kick off. I got to tell you, they move pretty quickly here in special teams. Credit to them. Blackshirts now come back to receive. And can they return the favor now after scoring in the opening drive? Jeremy Knight kicking off again. Back for the Blackshirts. It's Zayas DeWalt and Tyler Thrill Williams. Geezy and Jimenez up in kind of an up-back position. Here comes the kick. It's a short one, but the flag is down. We may have an offsides here in the kickoff, which you don't see too much. Maybe see more in high school. So that's good news for the Blackshirts. They'll probably be pushing the Red Knights back five. The body language from the Red Knights would suggest as much. So, Johnny, we've got a lot more seniors to talk about here. As we look for Jeremy Knight sets the kickoff, so have one ready in the queue for us to chat about.
Well, surely.
So ball is now being kicked from the 40. Is that the same spot, or did they move it back? Huh. All right. I think what it was is they didn't wait for the whistle. There's kickoff. It's caught. Williams has it. Williams. Nowhere really to go. He's tackled at the 36-yard line. So same situation as before where he kind of caught it in a pile and tried running backwards to get out of it and
right.
End up losing a yard or two. And I think in a situation like that, you're better off just pounding a few yards forward. And
yeah.
So 7:27 remaining in the third quarter. Blackshirts leading 22-12. Both teams scoring in their opening drives here in the third quarter.
I think we're going to see a lot of
we got Twins right, Stouts alone on the left. And now Williams in motion to the left. Hand off to Dunlop. And Dunlop's going to get some positive yardage. Maybe it looks like they're putting him down for two or three where the ref is standing. So 7:16 and counting here. Gain of three. Second and seven. So a good little run up the middle there by Dunlop. So now it's, yep, Twins right, Stout alone on the left. Dunlop on Carranza's left. Here's the snap from Carranza. Hand off to Dunlop going outside. He's got some room. He's got himself a first down first and then down. Some. Finally brought down at about the Red Knights' 45-yard line, 46-yard line. They will move the chains.
Well-designed play. Very
well
executed.
Said, Johnny. Yep, it sure was.
Boy, and that Dunlop, he gets moving. He's not easy to get down
It's
either.
Deceiving how fast he is.
He is. He's fast, and he's a load, too.
He's put some pounds on, and so.
Boy, they're good pounds, though.
Yeah. So, Twins right on the short side. Stout alone wide on the left. Fake the handoff. He's going to Stout.
He's going
Stout's
deep.
In the middle. Oh, just a little too high.
Sugar.
For the senior. Great look. Good pattern. Stout had good inside position. Ball just a little high, but. You can't you still got to admire the way Carranza's throwing the ball.
Well, like I said earlier, he's
so
got a little missile
second and
launcher.
10. Yep. 6:33 is your time remaining. Second and 10, a 22-12 Blackshirt lead over the Red Knights of Milwaukee Lutheran in this season opener, the Hall of Fame game they call it, as this is the night that the high school inducts their Hall of Fame.
Oh, he lost
on
it.
The snap. Carranza's got it though. He's got time. He's going to run out of it. He passes. He's got a guy.
Oh,
looks like it's
connected.
Caught. Yes, Cameron Davis.
All right.
So that's like a 6 or 7 yard gain. So by what would look like a bad situation turned into a positive gain, a manageable third and four.
It's great presence on
the ball
Hector's
at
part.
The 41 yard line of the Red Knights here. 6:04 and counting here. Twins left, single receiver right on the short side.
Up, oh, another fumbled snap. Carranza, this time he gets pounded. But and then they're calling
I
him.
I think
he fumbled. He got fumbled on the snap.
Yeah. Turnover.
And the ball
dude.
Bounces all the way to the 47-yard line of the black shirts. So now the Knights take over on a big turnover. These fumbles on the snap are killing them, and it's they don't appear like bad snaps.
What do you attribute that to, Don?
You know, you're in that shotgun formation. You're seeing the whole field. You got a lot going on in your head. I think a lot of times you're calling plays at the line here with these spread offenses. And, you know, could be some nerves. It's Hector's first start in varsity. And, you know, it's I know he started on JV last year, so there could be some. But, boy, the way he's throwing the ball, it's like if we can figure out those snaps, we'll be in good situation. So, first of all, they had a bad snap there, but Perzak just takes it. He gets to the ground as Carranza was there to put a pounding up. So, one good turn deserves another. So, a five-yard loss on an opening snap, and that one was the snap. It was in the ground. Perzak was in an infielder position to field that cleanly, and he had some room outside there for a very short second before Gabe Lascano said, no, you're going to, you know. Anyway, smart play by Perzik, protecting the ball and taking the knee. Clock runs 5:13 and counting here in the third quarter. Milwaukee Lutheran, after a touchdown in their last drive, now trailing 22-12 after Blackshirts opened up the half with a touchdown to put them up 22-6. Flag is down, so that looks like it's against the offense. Let's see. That came all the way from the back judge. Several yards away, so something he didn't like. It's a delay of game. That would make sense. He's the guy with the clock, Johnny.
Well, you just can't do that.
So, Johnny, give us a name here from the list. We just got finished with Tyler Williams. Yeah, I guess we're turning the page here. Red Knights get back to the line here, so we'll pause a moment here. It's Twins left, nobody on the right. There is a flanker. Now the flanker goes to the right here. And it's going to be a tie. Oh, fumbles it. And Perzak's loose. It looks like Blackshirt's got the ball.
They recovered. Blackshirt's
a self-inflicted
ball.
Turnover.
A lot of mishandles.
The snap was there from Perzak. The tailback couldn't get the handle on it. Perzak dives for it. Ball squirts loose. And I think that was Justin Giese on that recovery. So a big, big break for the Blackshirts after that turnover on third down on the sack. They now have the ball at the Milwaukee Lutheran 34-yard line. This is really something, Johnny.
It really is. It's these fumbles are so, just...
Sorry, split receivers on both, single receivers on both sides. Actually, no, Twins left here with Williams and Stout on the left. Zayas DeWald, actually. Carranza going long. He's got Stout. It's intercepted. Another overthrown pass to Stout. And he's brought down by Zayas DeWalt. So, Red Knights get the ball back at the 27. So, not a bad punt by Carranza there.
Boy, the turnover.
He had Stout, but just for the second time overshot him. That's unfortunate.
It really is.
But 4:32 is your time remaining in the third quarter. So that's three turnovers we've seen, two in the last two plays. And two of them created, well, like I said, two of the three have been self-inflicted.
Well, that safety, he just ran right to the ball. I mean,
well, he was already there. He was like playing outfield then. That's why they had a good shot to get Stout there under coverage. So Twins left here, nobody on the right. Pistol, they try that. Oh, he fumbles another pitch. It comes loose again. I think the Red Knights hang on.
Man, that's like three fumbles in four plays, Don.
That's crazy.
It's like a greased pig out there.
It sure is. So now, do we have a timeout here? Oh, injured player.
Uh-oh.
Looks like a cramp, though.
Yep.
So first time we've had the Caitlin Weber and crew coming out. And I can't get the player who it is. But it looks like it's just a cramp, which is probably the most popular of all black shirt afflictions. And they're going to let him up. I think he's going to get up. It looks like he's going to be fine, just a cramp. That's Justin Primetime Geezy, so he seems he's walking on it okay. A slight hobble, so I think it's a cramp. And that's why I think they got like a big barrel of pickle juice back there in the black shirt sideline, a permanent fixture of the athletic training program. Now Geezy's walking normally, if I can pronounce his name right. 4:08 left in the game, and after the big fumble on the, again, another pitch play.
Boy, that's
it's now second and 20. Ball at their own 10-yard line. Now, last time they were second and 20, they made a big play, a big pass play here, so they got to watch the flat closely. And Geezy will be out for at least one play. Clock winds 4:07 and counting here. Pistol formation, receiver right, short flanker on the left here. Short flank on the right. The snap. He's going to pass. He's going deep on the right. Nobody's there. It's out of bounds. Well covered. That was number 11, the General, Zayas DeWalt. Great coverage. And Perzik knew it. And I think he just wisely threw it out where no one could get it. So clock stops with 3:49, and it's third and 20. And another big play coming up for the black shirts here. You'd hope that if they can hold them to 10 yards or less, that if the black shirts do that, the Red Knights would punt with 3:49 left in the third quarter. Plenty of time for them. Substitution comes in. New face I've seen. I haven't seen him out there before. Number 7, Donovan Cotton for the Red Knights now. So we got a receiver lined up right. No receivers left. Now, when I say flanks for all of you out there, I'm meaning they're up. Oh, we got an off. Looks a penalty. An early jump, I think. That's going to be offense.
A lot of laundry.
Yes, it is. So when I'm saying flanks, these guys, is that they probably should say slots, are lined up so close to the tackles. They're kind of like tight ends that are going
back
a step. So almost like a double, but so that's what Milwaukee Lutheran's given us a lot like what Muskego does with their storied sleight of hand running game. There's the handoff. It's going to go right up the middle. Good little run. He's pounding it. He's got it almost 10 yards there. Nice. Jameer Clayton Brown, probably a good 12 or 13 yards, but it makes it 4th and 11, and another player down for the black shirts. This time it's Ben Jimenez as Jeremy Knight comes out to punt. So Caitlin Weber comes out. It's been nice. We haven't seen them all night. And, again, Jimenez back up on his feet, just a little shaken up. So another cramp, I think. So 3:32 is your time remaining. The injury causes a stoppage of play, and the punt unit comes out for the Red Knights. And, you'd like to say good stand for the black shirts, but, again, a lot of that was self-inflicted by Milwaukee Lutheran. Clock winds, 3:28 and counting here. And Davis is now back to return. But deeper than Davis, I think that's Tyler Williams. So let's see what they do here. Another short punt. I wouldn't go. Stay away from it, guys. Don't touch it. Get away. Yep. So the ball will die at the Red Knight 43-yard line. Great field position for our beloved black shirts here. 3:06 is your time remaining as the team's trade another turn. This time it wasn't a turnover, though. But it may as well have been on, again, that snap that you see from Perzak to the tailback, I mean, he's as close as you are to me.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's a really difficult pitch.
Maybe it's colder down on the
field. Or like on the option. Yeah, maybe, but. And again, the execution from the quarterback looks fine on the pitch. So I think it just could be some jitters. You know, it's psychological. You know, you're running. You fumble the ball once, and it's an easy thing to repeat once you get that in your head. So we got Twins right. Stout all alone on the wide side of the field. They give to Dunlap on the right. Good blocking. Dunlap moving up. He's going to be close to a first down. He may have gotten it. Another nice play.
Yep.
Dunlap was lined up on Carranza's left, gets the handoff, and goes out right. There's some great blocking on the right-hand side.
How much weight do you think Dunlap put on in the offseason?
You know, his dad's in the next booth. Let's ask Marty. I'm guessing it might have been a good, you know, 20 pounds, 20 or 30, yeah.
He's tough to bring down with
he
that.
He grew a lot in the last couple of years, so he got taller, and then he'd had these ankle problems, so he wasn't running as effectively as he did in eighth grade. But tonight, you're seeing the eighth grade Isaiah Dunlap, you know, back to his eighth grade form when they had that championship year.
Yeah.
So 2:50 time is your time remaining with the timeout, and it looks like the Red Knights have a player that's shaken up. He's gotten up and walked off, Ethan Lance, thankfully, the 5'10", 170-pound senior. Black shirt offense comes out. A second and one situation here. We've got trips left here. And Gabe Lascano's all alone on his right. Dunlap on Carranza's right. I would hope that they faked a... No, they're going to give to Dunlap. This time he's going to the left side. He's got a lot of room. Oh, a great shoestring tackle.
That was
by Jonte Watt. A beautiful tackle. But
yeah.
The good news is it's another black shirt first down.
Boy, if he would have had a half a step there.
Oh, we got a hold against the black shirt, so the first down is negated. Let's see where it gets spotted. That's going to go back to the original line of scrimmage there at the 40, just past the 44-yard line. So you're looking at second and 11 now. So two great runs. It basically negates that great run that Dunlap had here. So Twins left, single receiver right, ball in the middle of the field. Williams in motion to the right. It's going to be Dunlap again, and Dunlap powers his way for a good five or six. So I'm liking the play calling here with some of the motion they have going on. 2:18 and counting in the third quarter. Black shirts holding on to a 10-point lead and looking to hopefully get some more, but for sure milking some clock. Trips left, single receiver right, Dunlap on Carranza's right. And it's Dunlap again, and he breaks another tackle, and he's close to another first down.
First down, Don.
I think he's a little short according to where the ref is sitting, but still.
Pretty darn close.
They are doing a lot of fancy things with the formations, but they're still putting the ball in Dunlap's hands. That one right up the middle, and Dunlap had a decent little hole, but he fought for a lot of that yardage here. 1:39 left. It's a fourth and one situation here. Blackshirt's going for it. And I think you got to do play action here. No, it's going to be a delay of game. And we're checking for the ref here. No, a timeout by the Blackshirts. Why they threw a flag? I guess he got the timeout in before as the flag was being thrown or just before. So 1:27 remaining in the third quarter. And let's go to station identification. This is the Blackshirt Football Radio Network.
Listening to The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Those kids were fast as lightning. In fact, it was a little bit frightening. But they fought with
So we're back, and what looked like another fourth down conversion, this one to Tyler Williams. There is another flag, and I think it's going to be holding in the black shirts or legal man downfield. 1:23 is your time remaining in the third quarter. No, a personal foul against the black shirts. Wow. I don't know maybe it was a crack.
That's gonna hurt.
Was it a crack back or
yeah, I
crack
think so.
Block? Oh, that's too bad. And the right call if it is.
I think so Logan.
All right, so now,
trouble.
Now the ball is at the Red Knights.
Yes,
49. They're still
that.
They're going to go for it though. Clock winds back. Clock's back on. Yep, here comes the punt unit. 1:17 and counting here in the third quarter. So another promising drive for the Blackshirts, thwarted by some penalties and mental mistakes, and you know, very much the same for the Red Knights too. So after some great opening offensive drives on both sides, nice snap. The punt. Oh, it's shanked. And it's going to get a little bit of a Blackshirt bounce. And it's going to die at about the 34-yard line. So decent field position. Got another Blackshirt player shaken up here. He's standing up, though. That's good. That's his Gabe Lascano. So 47.3 seconds left in the third quarter. Again, the Red Knights get the ball back, trailing 22-12 to the Blackshirts. Let's see if the Blackshirts can hold. Here come the Red Knights. David Purdzak, the 6'4 junior. Pistol formation, single receiver right, a tight bunch package there on the left side, close to the line. The snap. Oh, it's a handoff, an end around. He's got some space. Oh, what a tackle! Cameron Davis again with a sick leg tackle. But there is a flag down, and it is in the Red Knight backfield, so this could be another big break for the Blackshirts. Nice looking call there by the Scarlet Knights, and had it not been for Cameron Davis, that could have been a long one. It is against the Red Knights, so... You know, it's a situation for both offenses, Johnny, where it's their biggest enemy is not the team on the other side of the ball. It's just been their own as the penalties start to mount up.
I got to tell you that Cameron Davis, he can fly.